On a brand new daddy on board this week, I'm going to tell you about a British inventor that thinks kids are brain dead because of Google, and updates to United States laws that will protect our children's privacy. All this and a whole lot more await you right around the corner on an all-new Dob. Greetings, parents and or legal guardians, to the podcast we call Daddy on Board. I am your host, Mike Quackenbush, and I will deliver unto you an audio recording of the week's top parenting stories from a paternal perspective. Because I am not just a podcaster, oh no, I am also a parent. This podcast and others on the Grizzly Productions Network are made possible thanks to the generous support of Cobra Electronics. If you spend time behind the wheel of a car, or the wheel of a boat, or the wheel of the G.I. Joe hovercraft, then great innovators Cobra Electronics are going to be your new best friends. Discover how they can simplify your life. Head over to Cobra.com right now. I won't be offended if you do. I'll just keep on talking in the background while you surf over there, okay? And now, without further ado, let's talk about some top parenting stories of the week. You remember Ken Jennings, even if not by name, because 8 years back he won 74 consecutive games of Jeopardy and kind of became the answer to a trivia question in the process. He is the right amount of nerdy to win Jeopardy 74 times in a row, and he's also written 4 books, the most recent of which has just been released and is called Because I Said So, The Truth Behind the Myths, Tales, and Warnings Every Generation Passes Down to Its Kids, in what is obviously a late 2012 bid to win the award for longest book title by a nerd. Ken reminds us that mother and father didn't always know best. Jennings separates fact from myth in important matters like the swallowing of gum, running with scissors, the cracking of knuckles, sitting too close to the television, and the catching of colds. Now, normally books on parenting interest me about 0% of the time, give or take. A game show quizmaster from the last decade hardly seems like an authority on these things. But in an interview I read with Jennings, where he discusses his obsession with fact-checking, he kind of won me over. He pointed out some cultural differences that give rise to these misconceptions and explained one from his own childhood living in Asia. Here, it is often repeated that you should wait 30 minutes after eating a meal before going in the swimming pool. But in Korea, where Jennings grew up, they laugh at that. That's an absurd notion to them. The man who taught me the lucha libre style of wrestling, Jorge Rivera, once told me that I should never drink water with ice cubes in it, because it will make me catch a cold. Now, I thought he just meant Mexican water and Mexican ice cubes, because as you may have heard, the water in Mexico is that dangerous H4O, not the more commonly occurring H2O. Well, turns out he thinks that's true of ice cubes all over the planet. And why does Jorge think that? When I asked him, he said, because his mother told him so. Am I saying that Ken Jennings just called Jorge Rivera's mom an idiot? Yes, I am. If you read Jennings' new book, I'd like to hear what you think, so won't you please tweet me, I'm at TheDaddyOnBoard, or leave me a longer review on our Facebook fan page, because I'd certainly like to hear some of your thoughts about this potentially interesting new parenting book from Jeopardy's own Ken Jennings. Alrighty then. The Daily Mail, a British rag that is usually obsessed with Prince William's naughty bits, ran a piece called The Internet is Leaving Children Brain Dead. Inventor warns Google generation who spend life in front of screens are losing creativity and skills. In what is obviously a late 2012 bid to win the award for wordiest title in a British rag. Author of the piece, John Stevens, says this: one of Britain's leading inventors has warned that a Google generation who rely on the internet for everything are in danger of becoming brain dead. Trevor Bayliss, who invented the wind-up radio, said children are losing creativity and practical skills because they spend too much time in front of screens. That's right. In back-to-back sentences, the Daily Mail identified the guy that invented the wildly popular wind-up radio as one of Britain's leading inventors. The 75-year-old said he fears that the next generation of inventors is being lost, with young people often unable to make anything with their hands. Now, I understand that the British have a sense of humor, typically thought of as being drier and perhaps more wry, than us dumb Yanks over here in the States, but how John Stevens got these bits into a supposed news piece without making all the other Daily Mailmen laugh loud, I will never know. Here we go, quote, "They are dependent on Google searches. A lot of kids will become fairly brain dead if they become so dependent on the internet, because they will not be able to do things the old-fashioned way." Recalling how his career had its roots in the very different world in which he grew up, he said he was about 5 or 6 years old when he began to invent devices. "During the war, when I was not at school, I used to go out and collect rubbish." This is my favorite part of the piece. Quote, "Mr. Bayless recalled how much of his motivation came from an accident when he was working as a circus stuntman. He said, I did an underwater escape act in a Berlin circus in 1970. When I was in the circus, I had a very passionate affair with an aerial ballet star, a lovely girl from Vienna. One night, she bounced off the net and hit the side and died halfway through the show, and it broke my heart. I suddenly realized disability is only a banana skin away." End quote. And there you have it. "Keep your young ones and their curious minds away from Google," says the 75-year-old failed circus stuntman that used to collect rubbish on the days he skipped school. Oh, and remember to wind your radio every 30 minutes as well. If this slice of the gabardine tones of my rayon acetate throat are not enough to sate your appetite for podcasting goodness every single week, loyal Dab Bobbers, well, fear not, because here on the Grizzly Productions Network, I pop up all over the place. In the middle of every week, I produce the Grizzly Bear Egg Cafe. That's where I team up with Fox News Network anchor Clayton Morris. He just happens to be my lifelong best bud. And we kibitz about all things pop culture and beyond on the Grizzly Bear Egg Cafe. It's so popular that the kids have taken to calling it the mothership here on Grizzly Productions. You can find out more about all the podcasts where I appear when you visit grizzlyproductions.tv, like The Trending Show, which comes out on the weekends. And on that particular program, I team with Natalie Morris to discuss what's been trending that week in Google searches and on Twitter. That way, you feel like you're in the know. And I certainly do every time I'm done making a trending show and releasing it to the world. Before I tell you how you can save some bucks when you visit our great show sponsors and friends of the program, Cobra Electronics, I want to share this story with you. Last week, the Wall Street Journal, which is a British rag obsessed with Prince William's naughty bits, ran a piece on web privacy laws. Now, U.S. regulators broadened a decade-old ruling about governing children's privacy online so that it now covers new areas, including smartphones. But amid pressure from the technology industry, they backed away from proposals that could have made companies like Facebook and Apple more responsible for violations. The Federal Trade Commission, or FTC as they were known on the X-Files, said it would change how it implements the Children's Online Privacy Protection Act of 1998. They call that COPPA for short, to reflect the growth of social networks and smartphone apps being used by children today. The commission also expanded the types of information that it considers to be personal under the law. Kids' apps and websites will now have to obtain parental consent before gathering photos or videos or geographical locations, and must obtain consent before tracking kids' online behavior, especially if they're passing it along to other companies. But in a departure from rule changes that the government proposed back in August, the FTC explicitly exempted app stores like those run by Apple and by Google from responsibility for privacy violations by the games and other software that are sold in those app stores. The updated rules, which will go into effect on July 1st of 2013, also make clear that software, like Facebook's Like button, and the advertisements placed by networks will only have to meet child online privacy regulations if the companies involved have actual knowledge that they're collecting information through a website or app that targets kids. And I have to admit, I'm a little baffled by what they mean there, because I'm not sure how it is that an app or website could be collecting information, and the people that made it don't have actual knowledge that it's doing that. Something very Orwellian about that thought. Jeffrey Chester, executive director of the Center for Digital Democracy, which I couldn't say without laughing, and a consumer advocate who has been involved in the COPPA debate for years, said the FTC's decision is a step in the right direction, but it leaves loopholes for companies to mine kids' data inappropriately. Thank you, Center for Digital Democracy. Now, my son Elliot, he's just 3 years old. He rarely uses the internet or social media, apart from his eHarmony account. And I can't blame him. My son's adorable. So whether or not certain like button plugins from Facebook somehow track his online preferences, really doesn't impact me in any way. All companies do some kind of market research as it relates to their consumer base, or at least they do if they want to stay in business, and I'm not sure that I really see any of that as an invasion of privacy. Last week, the Federal Trade Commission identified hundreds of popular kid apps that collect some form of data without parental consent. And I guess I should be glad that something good is being done with my tax dollars. So way to go and make a big list, FTC. Job well done. Big pat on the back for you. Well, now that your list is complete, can we get you guys reassigned to the task force that hunts online predators and stops identity thieves? Because as breathtaking as your ruling was about third-party plug-in applications that unknowingly collect IP addresses and mobile device IDs, I'd feel a lot better knowing that there were more people on top of the whole online predator and identity theft thing. A couple extra sets of eyes and ears on that one might go a long way. All right. All throughout 2012, this podcast and others like it on the Grizzly Productions Network have been supported thanks to the sponsorship of Cobra Electronics. Now, I know you've heard me talk about them before, but I want to ask you now more than ever to pay a visit to our friends over at Cobra.com, because for a limited time only, that is until January the 3rd, virtually all of their best-selling items are being offered with free shipping. If you want to find the best deals on cutting-edge radar and laser detectors, GPS navigations, marine electronics, CB radios, two-way radios, and on and on and on, go to Cobra.com and on their left-hand navigation under our products categories, look for the link to the specials section. You'll see some of their best-selling items right now are on deep discount, more so than you'll find any other time of year. And you'll find that dozens of items are now being offered as buy one, get one free offers. And best of all, as I said, until January 3rd, you'll get free shipping on any of these devices. So, if you've got a little something coming your way, maybe you get one of those Visa gift cards or something like that, and you're wondering what to spend it on, especially for those of you that are out on the road all the time like I am, you're going to want to take a look over at Cobra.com. I guarantee you there's something over there to make your life simpler. And that really is their specialty at Cobra.com. They simplify your life. I know from firsthand experience traveling everywhere that I go with their Cobra Eye radar system, it's made me a safer and more alert driver. Well, now you could have one or one of dozens of other products of theirs at the lowest possible price you're going to see throughout the year and with free shipping. So don't waste another moment and do me a favor by visiting our long-standing show sponsor, Cobra, over at their website, Cobra.com. This podcast would not be possible without him. Thanks. Emily Willingham of the New York Times penned a piece this past week about Asperger's syndrome and people's perceptions of it since the tragedy in Newtown, Connecticut over a week ago. The author is looking to smash stereotypes people may have from television characters like Abed on NBC's Community or Sheldon on that loathsome, witless Big Bang Theory on last place network and creative purgatory CBS. Asperger's became front and center in the Newtown discussion because a counselor had theorized that the shooter, Adam Lanza, may have had Asperger's syndrome. And the blog that I discussed last week here on the Dob by a mother who clearly identified with the mothers of other mass murderers also alluded to her troubled 13-year-old as possibly suffering from Asperger's syndrome. In that same piece, however, she also admits her frustration in getting so many conflicting diagnoses. So here's the New York Times to set us all straight. Quote, "People with Asperger's have a highly variable set of skills and capacities, most of them unrelated to brilliance or prepossessing eccentricities. Average intelligence, very real struggles with social navigation, and joblessness are far more prevalent among those with Asperger's than cute personality quirks like wearing unmatched socks or exhibiting an endless fascination with trains. but when it comes to ideas about the label my 11-year-old son carries, I'll take misconceptions about quirkiness and genius over an inaccurate association with mass murder any day. Thanks to the way too many in the media have embraced the Asperger's label as offering some kind of explanation for the inexplicable, the specter of Asperger's boy as future killer now shadows both those with Asperger's and their worried families. End quote. Willingham wants to make it clear that there is zero evidence suggesting that planned violence is symptomatic of autism or Asperger's syndrome. She points out that if you divide up the world neurobiologically under labels like schizophrenia, bipolar disorder, and antisocial personality disorders, that mass murderers are still extremely rare in each one of them. Rather than falling into categories of diagnoses, most mass murderers fall into categories of mental derailments, such as a psychopath, the delusionally insane, or the suicidally depressed. So just to be clear, any types of associations that people in the media have attempted to draw between what happened in Newtown, Connecticut, which I think is aptly described as inexplicable by Emily Willingham in her piece, and Asperger's syndrome are really, at best, loose generalizations. They are far from being concrete, and they are more founded in guesswork than they are anything else. And unfortunately, the result of that, of course, is the way in which people's perceptions of those with Asperger's syndrome are being warped, perhaps, by this representation of the media. And so I wanted to share that with you from Emily Willingham, as she noted there, the parent of an 11-year-old son who has Asperger's syndrome. Blogger Malaya Kawaguchi wrote an interesting piece on a topic that I typically care nothing about, marijuana. We could debate the legality and or morality of substances, like any number of drugs or alcohol, as if there is an absolute that applies to everyone everywhere, but we cannot, because this podcast really isn't set up for debate. It's more like a monologue. It's just me here. But my producer tells me marijuana stories are good for ratings. What really matters is what you value as a parent and your perceptions and how you want to instill those in your children. If the recent legalization of marijuana in some states should become a topic of conversation with your child. To me, substances like these are a crutch for weak-minded people. They're an excuse to be reckless and graceless and sloppy, or to wash away feelings or scenarios that cannot be dealt with in a more direct manner. Some of these substances are habit-forming, and they all cost money. If you must get high or get drunk so that you can lose yourself for a few hours, then I believe there is some self-loathing in need of more immediate assessment than your chemical diet, however interlinked those two things may have become. And if my son ever asks me why I never drink, or I never smoke, or why I quit psychotropic medications cold turkey in my college days, those are the things that I will tell him. To me, what these crutches represent in terms of personal liberty or addiction or whatever it is that fills up the pages of High Times magazine every month is secondary to what putting them in my body says about me. But I have a rather sharp edge on these topics, and blogger Malaya Kawaguchi's is softer, but every bit as relevant. On the topics, she writes this, quote, "What will we say to our children? And how will we tell them not to use pot if it's not illegal? And especially, how will we have those conversations without sounding like hypocrites if we've ever used it before?" My response? I will say she can't use marijuana until she's 21, just like alcohol, because that's the law. I will tell her I hope she never uses it, because it makes you fat and lazy, and she is neither. I will tell her how I know that it does, which is because I've used it before. I drink, and I have absolutely no problem telling my daughter that she cannot. It's not optional. She's not 21. Now, I will tell her additionally that using marijuana, like drinking alcohol, is a decision for adults, which she is not. And how will I influence her choice once she turns 21? The same way I would have influenced her choice the first time she came in contact with it when it was illegal, by talking to her. Kids are smart. They see through lies. Be truthful. Be direct. Tell them what you think and what you believe. Tell them your honest experience. Show them Uncle Bill, who still lives in their grandparents' basement at the age of 35. tell them why instead of hinting about it like you might have done before. Tell your kids your values and live them. They are the only real weapons you have in the war on drugs. End quote. Well, I thought that was very eloquently done, and I wanted to share that with you. If you want to read her entire piece, then head over to renton.patch.com, and you can look for Giving Kids the Straight Dope on Legal Pot. You see what she did there? All right. Well, there are a few things you can always count on here on the Dob. For example, I will probably make inappropriate jokes about sensitive topics. I will almost certainly evangelize on behalf of our awesome show sponsor, Cobra Electronics. And I will probably mispronounce someone's surname when I read Your Little Victories. Yes, indeed. It is time for Your Little Victories. You can send me your little parenting victories, and I will butcher your name here on the podcast. You must do so using forms of media like Twitter, the Facebook, or Google Plus. Yeah, some people are over on Google Plus. This one was sent in to me by Kenneth M. Blake, who, I think, I just pronounced his name correctly. He wrote this to me on Christmas Eve. Our 9-month-old daughter fell asleep on Daddy's lap when usually clamoring for Mommy when tired. Big win. Indeed, hashtag little victory on that, Kenneth. Thank you for sending that in to me. Over on Facebook, Elaine Crawford Cook, whose name I may have also pronounced correctly, sent this one in. My son received his Arrow of Light Award and the Super Achiever Award for earning all the activity badges. That sounds newfangled in the world of Scoutdom. Super Achiever Award? I was in the Boy Scouts for a really long time, like 20 years or so. It was a really, really long gestation period for me. They didn't have a Super Achiever Award. Not that I would have won it if they did have one, because I was very slow on the accumulation of merit badges, was I? But good for your boy, Elaine. Thank you for sending that in to me, loyal Dob Bobbers like you, Elaine and Kenneth. I will be back in about a week's time with another podcast that I am likely to entitle Daddy on Board 117. And until we meet again, my friends, adios.